Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long radio show.
Oh dear. Ashwini, did you disappear?
No, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Oh, good. I had a little technology glitch. Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Our assignment from yesterday is related to the work that we have to do. So what is it that you need to work on? How has this been an ongoing process in your life, and how is it currently apparent in your life? And the question from yesterday was, what would you need to do to resolve it? Record and listen. And here's our first caller.
All right.
You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Anna from England here.
Well, hello.
Hello, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, perfectly.
I'm always so surprised.
I know. It is it's one of those places that we can start to take for granted. But, I mean, we're talking with people on the other side of the world, or at least, you know, many thousands of miles away, as if we're all in the same room together. It's truly something to be grateful for.
Yeah, and on this, you know, innocent app that's on my phone that is just so easy to use.
Yeah.
Hello and how are you?
Happy to be here, and you?
I'm so happy to be here.
Good. What are you seeing?
Lots and lots of, I'm still so enjoying this year-long retreat. It's all so wonderful. And talking of technology, a really cool thing is I've had hearing loss for a really long time in one ear, and I'm finally trialing out a hearing aid. And it's got Bluetooth and an app and everything. So I can listen to all my recordings, all the radio shows, of the Tuesday evening one as well, all the time in my ear, and it's like crystal clear, and it's so easy. Why didn't I do this ages ago? But I think the technology is quite new.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been watching the changes too. Just fascinated by where all this technology is going, and that's another one of those. What a great time to be alive, right? Where
absolutely
thing in your ear, and suddenly you can hear probably as well as you've ever heard in your life.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm just, and no one else can hear it, and I'm just like plugged in so much. And so the issue, what do I need to work on? I just picked like the first pressing thing that I had that day. And then because I have been listening so much to so much, so I'm just listening to all the archive radio shows, people were just sort of, I don't know, I just seem to have been listening to lots of radio shows where people are talking about how life presents you with what you need, and it can seem like it's a really awful thing and it's really terrible. But talking about seeing that as being a teacher or being a gift, and you know, like when people ring up and they say, I really get it, I'm like, I really get it. And just the whole idea of seeing difficult situations as a gift. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Because without that, I wouldn't have seen this next thing that I need to see. So if we could step back and get some sort of a visual of it, we could see the circle of compassion expanding.
Yeah.
Because every place where it was being held back, you know, we go through these places and we get to a place of clarity and compassion, and the circle of acceptance is larger and larger and larger.
Yes, I agree. what I needed to work on could have made me feel really depressed and really down. And then when I just flipped how I viewed it to this new way of being, I've been happy and smiling over the last couple of days, whereas, you know, I could have been, you know, a little bit depressed about it.
Yeah.
So, yay, it works.
Yeah, yes, it works. And we talked about this at the monastery last night at group, that we don't, because we were talking actually about Anne on the show yesterday, and that watching that process of, I don't know how this is, when, where this is all going to come together, but it is.
Yeah.
And when it does, we see things that have been holding us back or down or causing us to suffer all of our lives. And we were getting a little clue here and a little clue there and a little clue there. And then one day it just all comes together. And it all comes together and it all falls apart. Right? The clarity is there, and the karma can just no longer cause us to suffer.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's quite freeing because it's like, come on then, bring it on. I can take it.
Yeah. Say that again.
So the attitude is, bring it on. I can take
yes.
it.
Yes, because I have all the support I need. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what book it's in, but the little Hello Life, I'm available drawing. You know, whatever is needed, I'm ready because I know I have all the support I need. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is actually I want, and it is actually what I choose.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's what I want, actually.
Yes, going for the gold.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
So
thank
you.
I'm smiling over here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go happy.
All right. Thank you. You too. Thank you, Ashwini. Bye bye. Go happy.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Anna. You know, the fascinating part about that, this whole series of questions, Sherry, is that place of work. That what do I have to work on makes it our conditioned mind focus on something that's hard and something that's effortful. And I love that conversation where even while I was working on it, that if I had that lens, it feels difficult. And to recognize that difficulty is not a problem, that effort is not something that we should avoid. That there's a process in play here, and if we're present to the patterns of life, everything is work and effort. You know, in some senses of moving energy requires that. And here's that conditioned process that anything hard is supposed to be avoided, and anything that requires effort is something we need to resist.
Yes, yes. And what Anna was pointing out so beautifully is that when we align ourselves with life, what has been called effortful or difficult or to be avoided by conditioning is none of those things.
Yes. Yeah, we are moved.
Yes, yes. And we are given to, and we are supported.
Yes. Yes. Yes, and I think that is the key, that to know that whatever it is, it isn't punitive, and that everything can be done with compassion.
Yes, and you know, it's such a vote of confidence, because we wouldn't have it if we weren't ready for it.
Yeah, it's the adequacy.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be here if it weren't the next thing for me to engage with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So it in that sense, it really is a gift. Okay, well, here's where you are. You know, if you studied for that spelling test and you spelled all the words right and you get your little star, you know, the next one is going to be harder words. That's the reward for doing really well with the words you learned, right? So,
yes.
So it's a pat on the back that you're mm-hmm. ready for the next thing. Yeah.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning, Mrs. Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. So what I noticed this morning kind of dovetails with what you were just talking about, because I was writing in the workbook an exercise that I hadn't done last week, and what I noticed was that the answer for that was also the answer for what we were looking at yesterday's assignment. And it's what you were just saying, that what's lacking or what's missing or what I could bring more of to the situation is compassion. And if I'm not present and I'm acting in a conditioned way, that's not available to me or to the people I'm interacting with or whatever is going on. And it's really hard for the human without that compassion.
Yes. Yes. That's such a great point. It's hard for everybody, isn't it? Everything's easy with compassion. Everything is hard without it.
Yeah, yeah. And it was, it's so the experience of just doing the practice that, you know, I don't know. I'm just writing in the book. And as I'm writing, I realize this other, this greater awareness comes in because I feel a certain way. In my case, I was writing these things down, and I noticed this sadness. And when, so what's that about? Well, there's this real lack of compassion there. So it's just so much, just do the assignment and see what
just
happens.
Just show up, right? Just sit on the cushion. Just do the assignment. Because what we can see in what you just said is you weren't doing anything. You weren't efforting to get that awareness. You were just doing the assignment, and the clarity dropped in. You just saw it. We could say it was just given to you.
Right. And our job, like you're saying, when we show up, then we're not just efforting down in sort of that little pinpoint way, but we're showing up with expanded awareness, and so we can catch on to this other information that's showing up.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it when we get to that place where we see that there's just one answer. You know, there's just one process, one thing we need to focus on, right? So we're calling it compassion. So that's it. I choose compassion. And in every single moment, I'm choosing compassion. I'm looking for compassion. I may not be experiencing it, but I know that's what I'm in pursuit of. That's what I'm asking for. That's what I want. And,
right.
And increasingly, it's there, isn't it?
Yeah, when we turn our attention to it, because that's what I had been looking at just before, was how did I go through this whole interaction? And, it's helpful in this year-long retreat to really get to have this, we're more stepping back into awareness and we're seeing the processes that we're engaged in with conditioning. So I was kind of, conditioning brings up this whole thing that happened yesterday. I review it, but I'm not reviewing it from a conditioned place. I'm reviewing it in awareness, and I see how much the identity is doing its conditioned behaviors and how it's all about me and I've got to be okay in this interaction. And do I need to be okay from a conditioned place? Or can I be okay in the unconditional place? Can I bring the compassion? Can I be okay there? That's what we're going for.
Yes. Yes, and of course you can, right? And the other thing that after we've been doing this for a while, as we have, we're never okay in a conditioned place. Never. You know, if I have an interaction and that other person is clearly wrong, I mean, they just are. And I could ask anybody, and they would say, yes, that person is wrong. What do I have? Am I okay in that? No, I'm not any more okay in that than if all the evidence pointed to how I was wrong. Right? So getting that, you know, there's just no sense in indulging the conversation because I'm never going to be okay in that realm.
Exactly, exactly. It's just what's coming up right now is just, you know, waiting in the queue for the, you're now, you can ask your question, and having that whole conversation be, don't call on me, call on me, don't call on me, call on me. And, you know, where are we okay? Well, the more we do it, we find out that we're completely okay when we get to speak out and say what's going on, because then we're here and we're held in that compassion every time we get a chance to do that.
Yes, every time we get a chance to do that. Yeah, and what we're doing is increasing our chances.
Right, a lot.
Yeah.
Every day
we're
in the queue, we're increasing our chance.
Yeah, and we're learning a process to apply everywhere. Right? Whatever is going on, our job is to embrace that human being in unconditional love and acceptance, and to practice being present so that those insights, that guidance, can be available to us, or we can avail ourselves of it.
Right. And right. Just as you were saying, I'm just seeing that process of, if I'm looking to life, even if I don't, you know, if there's a judgment or an assessment that I'm not getting an answer, I can know where that's coming from, and I can just come back and show up and keep practicing to look to life. And I really see the whole different experience when I do that.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you, Greta.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. I just love that question, Sherry. Just because I'm right, does that mean that I'm okay?
Yeah.
And that whole process of discovering or calibrating to the only place we're always okay, and moving to that as, and just moving to that, because that's what we do. That's where we live. That's what we know is true. And to recognize that when we're in the conversation is when we're not okay, and therefore we out the conversation as a way of getting to the place from which we can move to the place of okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just such a core practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at the heart of the whole thing, right? And
and
so much, I was seeing that in what Greta was saying, so much of what we do, we're just circling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had the right answer, end quote, from the first moment it occurred to us to pursue some kind of awareness practice. We've actually known what the answer is, but we're in the process of proving it to ourselves and choosing that over everything else.
Yes, absolutely. Sherry, I got a text to say that you were kind of faint, so just...
I didn't faint. I've been right here.
Okay. I meant
all
your...
Right. Yeah, I know.
All right.
You know. Okay, well, gosh, okay.
You're loud and clear for me, so I don't...
Okay.
I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Okay.
All right, here's
don't
our next
yell.
Caller.
I'm not going to start yelling.
You are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Woodby Island.
Well, hello, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hey, Jennifer.
I want to say that for this whole week I've had trouble hearing Sherry. As soon as she starts, I can hear Ashwini, I can hear the caller, but when you start talking, the more you talk, the quieter it gets. So I'm just putting that
it's
out there.
It's a plot, Jennifer. It's a plot.
it's a total plot.
The devil is trying to silence me. I knew that. I knew that would happen. Wow. Okay. Darn. Well,
anyway, just put that in the mix.
Okay.
I think it would be funny if somebody could be watching me. I was just sitting here, and then all of a sudden I'm on the queue, and my entire body just leapt upright. Like, woo!
Restarched.
That's right. Well, the thing I was working on, or a thing that conditioning is always working on, has one thing or another to do with my relationship with my body. So in the past, it's been about weight, and it's just whatever needs to be fixed or improved about the body.
Whatever is wrong with it.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's almost like there's this point of view where I look out and I look and I go, you know, there's just everything wrong with this package here. And we really need to work on this, and we need to work on that. So it's been a lifetime of, you know, exercises and diets and all kinds of things. But then more lately, it's been less that due to a lot of practice. But still, it's like need to get healthy, need to get fit, and then thrown in where I've had this health thing for about a decade or so. So it's still the same relationship of something needs to be fixed about this, you know, not working body. And then when it was about what would I need to do, and it just, after thinking about that for a while, all of a sudden it just popped in. It was like, you know what? Appreciate and connect to this body.
Wow.
That's all there is to do.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Gosh. Because when you say that, we have so much conditioning to blame the body for all our conditioned problems.
Exactly.
Gosh, it's an ugly system, isn't it?
It's so rude. It's like the body is to blame, and if only, you know, I could like manipulate it into being X, Y, or Z, then my life would be complete.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And as you point out, it's an ever changing target, right?
Exactly. And then it ages, you know.
Just when you start making a little progress to whip it into shape, it starts getting older, which is really, or then something, you know, then it malfunctions in some way, and it's just all so wrong.
It is. Or it could be that it's just life putting all that into place so that I can get a look at this.
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, obviously, within that, here we all are with whatever we've got going on. Everybody's aging. I talked to somebody the other day who's older, and he said, you know, I just so wish I could communicate to these young people that this is going to happen to you too. And I said, you truly sound like an old man. You have arrived, right? But that, I mean, we've all gone through that, right? And when you're at a certain age, you think it's never going to happen to you, and everything happens to you that happens to every other human being, and it's just such a shock, and we all have to adjust. Is that part of the deal? You know, that eventually we're kind of forced into this position of acceptance or not. And so with all of that stuff that's going on, we really are the lucky ones who have an awareness practice that enables us to see this in a context.
Yeah. Yeah. And to get to the spot where, you know, that looks kind of delicious. Why don't I appreciate and connect with this amazing little machine that I'm going around in? It's great to be able to get to that place where, hey, why don't I tend to it and appreciate it like I liked it?
Right. Or even loved it, admired it, respected it. You know, the sad part about it is that most people take better care of their car than they do of their body.
I know. I was just saying, you know, you tend your cats, you tend your plants, you tend your house. How about the body?
Yeah. The thing that makes you able to do all of that.
Exactly. Wow. Without which you would not be here.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's all good to look at. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very helpful. All right.
Go happy.
Happy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. It's such a level of separation when we don't identify that the body is part of what we are.
It is us. Then, of course, we talk about body and mind are one. It is us, because as Jennifer points out, we wouldn't be here. So that every other problem we have would disappear immediately. So why not disappear those other problems and take care of the thing that's enabling us to enjoy life?
Yeah. Well, here's our, we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hey, Rochelle.
Whoa, got an echo. Do we? Okay, let's see what I can do about that. I'm calling on the computer, which I rarely do.
And you don't have the phone on your earbuds or...
Oh, I'm about to put the earbuds in. Okay, how's that?
Let's try it. Oh, the secret
sauce. Much better? Okay,
very
good.
Better, yeah. I don't know if I'm audible, but you sound good.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you fine.
All right.
So very good. I actually didn't think I'd get on, but anyway, well, conditioning didn't think I'd get on. So what I've been seeing, particularly about this, what you need to work on, current or what's current and apparent in your life, and how has this been ongoing, is that I've read and recorded and listened around this process where conditioning sets goals, new plans, new ideas, then sabotages it, and then beats me for not following through with it. Okay?
Yeah.
And I've seen that process.
Evil so-and-so.
Yeah. It does this all the time. And I've recorded, and I've got years of recording about content where this has happened, so I've seen this. And the question is, what have I not done? Why does this keep going on? And it really hit me out of the blue when I was sitting and asking this. I guess the mentor dropped in and said, well, you haven't brought compassionate awareness to this process. Type of thing. The way I have been approaching it has always been confrontational with ego, which is still in relationship with ego. And it brings a lot of energy. You know, it's like I'm battling ego. It's the enemy, and I'm fighting it, and, you know, and gritting my teeth and going to war with it. And it still is relationship with ego, and I'm fighting a battle, and I'm still going through this process, and the next time it comes up, okay, well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and then I'm back in that same spiral of making new goals, making things to work on, self-improvement, and then it's going to sabotage me, and then it's going to beat me for not following through, and then I'm going to go to war again with it, and it's not a compassionate process, and it struck me, for all this recording and listening, I haven't been compassionate, you know, for the person who's trying so hard and getting duped so hard. And so the question was, what does compassion for that being look like? What do I do to be compassionate for somebody who is suffering through this process over and over with different content, but with good intention again and again?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really good person. And what'd you come up with?
Well, it really came up very basic types of things is, not goals or self-improvement, but it really is practice, okay? And so being grounded in the practice commitments, and they're really very simple, you know. They're not hard, difficult types of things, not based on any outcome or anything. And if it doesn't happen, there's no beating. But simple things, you know, exercising daily, meditating daily, recording and listening daily. There's nothing earth-shattering about any of it. Doing the year-long retreat daily type of thing and letting it be that.
Mm-hmm. And so the constant there, what do you do for her? You're choosing to take care of her.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of ignoring her and fighting ego,
exactly,
you're really focusing on her. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, this is certainly, you know, if I, as a battle, then it's kind of like science, equal and opposite reaction. So the more I react to ego, the more energy it gets to react back to me. And I've done this enough that it's just like, okay, this is, you know, just energy swirling around in an ego control cycle type of thing. The other thing I think that I'm looking at is, I think there was a quote recently about compassionate breath. And just even when I'm running around busy at work and doing several things, instead of getting the conversation of beating me up about what I'm doing, what I'm not doing, what goal I haven't met that is set for me, it's more like coming back to the breath and like I can feel it. It's an energy. And I don't have to engage in it. I can just breathe. You know, and I don't have to be sitting on a cushion to breathe and count breath.
Right. And to be grateful, right? To be grateful. That's a wonderful moment. Come back to the breath and just thank you, body. Thank you, human. You're doing
exactly.
a great job. Thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. This retreat has been very helpful because I'm surely seeing a lot of ways in which conditioning gets me and how I do things type of thing. I'm seeing a lot
and I think the basic point that you're making is such an essential one, that's the biggest way it gets us and keeps us. Right, so we have to constantly be in relationship with ego, those voices, self-hate, in order to see what they're doing and fight them off and make another plan and not, you know, when we could just turn our attention to loving kindness, to compassion, to taking care of this human treasure that is enabling us to have this life experience.
Well, and the other thing that I've noted is that as opposed to the past in this cycle with conditioning and what it does, through practice, I'm no longer afraid of it. I mean,
uh-huh.
I was terrified of it. And now it's not me. It truly is not me. And I'm not afraid of it. I'm not feel like I'm losing control or anything like that. So at least that part of the process with this looking at it is that I see it as a process type of thing, but I'm not afraid of it. And that's a huge thing.
It only has the power we give it, right?
Exactly.
Without us being afraid of it, it's just really kind of a pathetic little program.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't need to feel sorry for it, you know, but it just doesn't, it doesn't have anything. It can't hurt us. Only we hurt ourselves. Because it talks us into it, which is really, you know, really very different from it being able to do anything to us.
Oh yeah. Well, and exactly, you know, during depression, it tells you that this is the reality, and that it'll always be torturing us, to get rid of it, we have to get rid of us, and it's just like no.
It's a good reminder to choose the unconditional. That's helpful and handy.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, my dear.
Thank you very much.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
Go happy. And that brings us to the end of another fabulous show, Sherry, and we have a weekend of assignments starting with today, which is the question about what are you willing to do to resolve it? So what do you need to work on, and what are you willing to do to resolve it? Such an important question.
Uh-huh. Willing being the operative word, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yes. We have a weekend, and then I think you and I will be saying good afternoon when we meet with people next week, because we'll be in beautiful North Carolina.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Treasure yourself. Take care. See you soon.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.